AOL buys the Huffington Post.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The company that brought millions of Americans dial-up internet access in the early days of the web is making a $315 million bet on its future. That's how much AOL is paying for the six-year-old left-leaning news site, The Huffington Post. The deal was announced early this morning, and let's get reaction now from Henry Blodgett. He's the CEO of Business Insider. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with The Huffington Post. Henry, what's in it for The Huffington Post to be taken over by AOL?
I think for Huffington, it's $300 million in cash, which isn't probably looking too bad given that the site was founded about 5 to 6 years ago, and also just a much bigger platform. You can say what you like about AOL, but it has a huge group of readers and users and a big subscription business. And for Arianna Huffington, it's obviously a very big platform, and she'll now be head of the whole content business.
And why does AOL want Huffington Post?
For AOL, this is a Hail Mary pass. If the company does nothing, it will go out of business slowly. And right now, it is accruing a very big pile of cash because it's still profitable, has to figure out a business in the next couple of years or it really is going to die. So basically, it's Tim Armstrong, the CEO, saying, let's make a big, bold move, get a good new brand, and make a full bet on that.
All right. Now, obviously, Huffington Post is a very popular website, but it's also a politically liberal website. How does that figure into the calculation for AOL?
That's going to be very interesting to see how they handle that. AOL right now is politically neutral. So given that Huffington Post is left-leaning, I would not be surprised to see them try to complement that with something on the right side, because there's no reason for them to take a political position as a media company. It's possible that they now want to be a left-leaning media company. I don't know, but that is an unusual and big question that'll be going forward.
Henry Blodgett, CEO of Business Insider, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Well, if you saw some or all of the Super Bowl last night, and I'm guessing you did, you might have seen that cute Volkswagen commercial with the Darth Vader kid. Actually, you didn't have to wait for the Super Bowl to see the ad because it was up on the web last week. As Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, the latest trend in advertising is the preview.
Procter & Gamble launches new Old Spice commercials on TV today. But the company has been teasing the ads, featuring spokesman Isaiah Mustafa, for weeks online.
Hello, ladies.
A preview may seem a bit presumptuous for something like 30 seconds of airtime. George Belch teaches marketing at San Diego State University.
Probably a lot of consumers are probably trying to find ways to avoid ads rather than to pay attention to them.
Belch says for commercials that already have a following, like the Old Spice campaign, like some of yesterday's Super Bowl ads, teasers allow companies to build audience on their websites, on Facebook, or on Twitter. Tim Calkins is a marketing professor at the Kellogg School of Management.
All of a sudden, the return on investment begins to improve because you're getting now a lot more for your money.
He says ad previews are just getting started. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher across Europe this morning. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is visiting the Western Hemisphere's second largest economy today, Brazil. He said that country is being hurt by other emerging economies with undervalued currencies. Translation, China. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow rose 29 points to close at 12,092.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation Defender is now Reputation.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Banks have reopened in Egypt, but 13 days of anti-government protests there have sent the Egyptian pound to its lowest level in years. Well, remember, all the turmoil we're seeing in the Middle East started in Tunisia. And now the new transitional government in that country is working to deal with the serious economic problems that sparked the revolution. Sabri Benachour reports now from the capital, Tunis.
Go to a cafe and speak with just about any young person in Tunisia these days, and you're bound to hear similar stories. Here's 24-year-old Wafat Limen.
I have a degree in marketing, and I'm working in a call center.
Some of my colleagues have master's degrees. We even have a guy with a PhD there.
And if they're from the interior of the country, you'll hear how things are even worse there. Kauthar Jabali is 29.
We have 5 people with master's degrees in my family, and none have been able to get a job in 5 or 6 years.
It's estimated that 30% of young graduates are unemployed. Tunisia has invested in education more than almost any other country in the region. But in recent years, some economists say the education system has been paying more attention to churning out grads than to making sure they're prepared for the real world. At the same time, the former government neglected economic development in huge swaths of the country. The result? A lot of educated people without jobs, especially in poorer areas.
That's the major problem that we need to face. Everything leads to that, and everything comes from that.
Elias Jouini is in charge of social and economic reform for Tunisia's transitional government. He says it wants to decentralize decision-making and focus economic development on poorer areas.
Right now, everything is decided in Tunis as far as investment goes. And that hasn't necessarily corresponded to actual needs.
The new government has already given out cash to unemployed graduates to help make ends meet. It's also looking to boost private sector job creation, possibly through simplifying regulations and providing lines of credit. In Tunis, I'm Sabri Benachour for Marketplace.
And we've got a slideshow from Tunisia up on our website at marketplace.org. Finally, tablet computers and e-readers do a lot of things, but in Japan, they're now being used to clear space. Japan is the world's biggest market for paperback books, and it's also home to some of the world's tiniest apartments. Well, according to Bloomberg, dozens of companies there are racing to convert paper books into e-books because people want to read, of course, and so they'll have a little extra room in a country where the average living space per person is 398 square feet. In New York, where we're probably not far from that, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We've all heard about the impending doom that will result from climate change if we don't clean up our acts, but that scare tactic isn't working.
There is this general tendency of people, and Americans especially, to believe in the world as just and fair and orderly. And when information arises that threatens that view of the world, people tend to disregard that information.
I'm Bob Moon, rebranding the message of climate change next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.